All right. 2016. I've made some modifications. Instead of 2016 shall be a year of recovery, 2016 is. We're in it. Is a year of recovery. I just like these words. I like to hear them. And I just determined when I heard Pastor Gary say these words, you know, how the Lord was speaking to his heart and just saying, hey, this year is going to be a good year. The Lord's saying, you know, get your cups, get your bowls, get your vessels out, because if you're ready, I'm going to pour into you. So hallelujah. 2016 is a year of restoration. Hallelujah. 2016 is a year of rest. 2016 is a year of revival. Did you like a little bit of that revival tonight? That was good. Hallelujah. 2016 is a year of preparation that will lead up to the Pentecost of 2017. Wow. It's just like the Lord's saying, you know, it's like you're sitting on Thanksgiving Day 3 hours before the turkey's done, and you're like smelling it for like 3 hours. You go, oh, that's really good. The Lord's saying, oh, this is really going to be good, 2016, but it's just going to lead up to something even better in 2017. So, therefore, modified it a little bit more too. Therefore, speak recovery, restoration, rest, revival, and preparation. You know, there was a time in the Christian church in the 80s and 90s, they talked a lot about confession. It's important to confess God's word. And it is. I've learned that. Many times I'll be just sitting by myself or laying down, and I'll just be thinking the word of God like a scripture over and over and over again. And I it brings a lot of peace. Because it's, you know, it says, I believe in Joshua, meditate on the word of God day and night, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So there's strength in that. But to actually speak God's word and say, that's true in my life. You know, it's not so much what you do here. We need here, because we learn that it's easy here. We learn we can do things because the anointing and the Spirit of God's here, and it's motivating us and helping us. But at least when I walk out that door, sometimes I feel like I turn into Frankenstein, you know. And to motivate my flesh, I've learned that if I speak God's word, it'll start cutting through some of that nonsense. So that's why I think it's important to speak all these things. You think about them, the Holy Spirit quickens your mind or your heart. Just say it, yeah. I'm in that year recovery. It says, believe recovery, restoration, rest, revival, and preparation. You know, believing, sometimes that's we don't really know what that is. And we can look in the Bible, and the Bible has some good definitions that help us explain what faith is. Faith is a decision. When you see God's word, when you see something is true in God's word, you say, I'm making a decision to believe that. That's for me. What God's saying in there, that's for my life today. And so when you do that, that'll be very helpful. That'll help. You'll see some of these things start coming into your life. And then it says, seek recovery, restoration, rest, revival, and preparation. So we know that the Word of God says if we're going to look for something, if we go, oh, we're looking for God, we're looking to know more about God, if that's our heart attitude, says though, whatever you seek, you'll find. So you'll find it. That's God's promise. You know, sometimes our head doesn't understand things, because maybe sometimes when we read certain scriptures, it seems like, wow, I don't really understand what's going on there. You know, but We know Jesus said you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you as a teacher. So he'll help explain these things to you. But realize he's going to give you an explanation, but then you'll grow some more and he'll give you a little bit more because you're able to understand it. You know, and live recovery, restoration, rest, revival, and preparation. You know, once you speak, believe, and seek these things, and God quickens them, and you start seeing them happen in your life, start walking them out. You know, don't be afraid. Don't fear to walk and do what God's told you to do. You know, there's lots of times, the Lord prompted me to do certain things. Like one day, I was just driving through town, minding my own business, and then I saw like a group of young people just standing there. And I see groups of young people all the time. But this day, the Lord said, go and talk to them. But Lord, I'm driving in a car. So, you know, I pull over, I start walking, and there's this fear on me. I'm afraid to go and talk to a couple of people. But I said, I'm going forward. I'm pressing forward because God's grace is here. And it was just like I walked through like a curtain of fear. Walked right through it, and it wasn't there anymore. You know, when the Spirit of God, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard, no matter how big that wall is. The Spirit of God, the power of God, is more powerful than anything that the enemy can bring. So we have to learn not to just respond to our flesh. You know, I want to get angry. I want to get impatient. I want to be mean. I want to cut that person off. This person's ticking me off on this phone. I want to hang up on him. You know, Bible says to be kind to one another. But they're not Christians. The Bible doesn't say just be kind to Christians. It says be kind to one another. So we can do that. We've got that in our hearts. So that's what 2016 is going to be. I'm excited about that. So, all right. Matthew 7, you don't have to turn there, but it says, judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. Okay. What God has available for us is not always what we're able to receive. God wants us to have complete recovery. He wants us to have 100% restoration. He wants us walking in the fullest revival, and he wants us to have the deepest preparation. Okay, so all of us are at all different places in the Lord. Okay, how do we get there? Well, I think the big thing is we start where we're at. You know, we need to do those things that Jesus are telling us to do right now. You know, I can't walk up to Jackie over here and say, get busy. You're not doing anything for the Lord. Okay, that's being very judgmental, and I don't know what's going on in her life. And being busy for her in the Lord is reading the Word of God, is praying. You know, being busy could be preparation, you know, right now. But when Jesus was at the wedding and he found out that they had no more wine, the bar was empty, everything was dry, and Jesus' mother came to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, what is that to you? It's not my time. You know, basically it was like, mind your own business. But then what did Mary say to the servants? Do whatever he tells you to do. You know, And that's the first step, is we have the Spirit of God inside of us. If we're born again, we hear Jesus talking to us. We sense him. I don't hear audible words. I don't know if I want to hear audible words. I don't know. But I sense he's in my life and he's speaking to my heart. Okay. So, and I know he's doing that to everybody. So that's where we start. You know, that's, you know, you grow and he increases that in measure. Okay, when he has all these things in front of us for the next year, you know, we want to get our spoon out and we want to start eating. Restoration, preparation, revival, rest, recovery. But, you know, some of us don't realize that we're using this type of spoon. That's the measure we're at right now. You know, but we think we're at this. So, wherever we're at, I guess I just want to say that God's going to meet you wherever you're at, and he's going to help you. And that's the thing to learn, is when there's opportunity to get more of God, just do it. Step into it. You know, in the flesh, man, lots of times in the flesh, I don't want to do certain things, you know. And, you know, during praise and worship, I was glad that he started jumping, because I was just thinking, I need to shake out some cobwebs here. So that's just what I do, you know, to get free in the Lord. So that's to just encourage you as a brother in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Somebody said one time that your love is at the level of the person you like the least in your life. And I guess I didn't really like to hear that, you know, because, you know, sometimes I have a perception of myself and I think I'm like a great person that walks in love. And I've just learned over time that that's not necessarily the case, that the Lord has to work that judgmentalism. And I'm talking about myself, you know, just, you know, when I see somebody, let's say I see somebody that's not wearing good clothes, and maybe they're just kind of like walking, you know, maybe just kind of dragging their feet, and then in my mind I'm thinking, the thought comes, that's a bum. I don't need to be making those judgments anymore in my life. It says faith which works by love. You know, I don't need to be looking at people and saying they have so many problems, or they're damaged goods, or somehow I'm better than them in some way. And so over time, the Lord has shown me that these scriptures are key to our success in life, is we have to learn how to implement the love of God into our walk. Because when we see somebody that doesn't look that good, as his clothing's kind of tattered, maybe he doesn't smell so good, we have to realize that, and Phil smells really good. We have to realize that the Lord's attitude for somebody like that is, I want to minister to them. That's Jesus' attitude. And so, as you walk and as you grow in Christ, and especially over this next year, we're going to be looking at people a little bit differently. We're going to be looking at people as, okay, how is Jesus going to love this person? You know, but it's not just going to be asking the question. We're going to be sensing Jesus working through us and helping us to love people that, you know, that may get on our nerves, that may talk too much, that may whatever irritates you. You know, the Lord's going to help you with those things. Amen. I sure need the help. Hallelujah. It says, John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. Okay, when it comes to the things of God, it's not about how we do in our flesh. Okay, maybe give you an example. Okay, I know it's good to exercise. Okay, I know that it increases metabolism, it helps burn calories, it helps the heart, it helps all those things. Okay. And science has kind of proven that. Okay. But as a Christian in the Lord, I have to trust the Lord. I have to do what He's telling me to do. And He's told me to do some exercise. But if all of a sudden I say, I'm going to put my faith in my exercise and not in the healing and sustaining power of the Lord, I think that's the Lord's trying to get me to swing over more and to see that the things I do in my flesh are like 1%, and the Spirit of God, He wants me to work in my life 99%. Okay, what's a good example in Scripture? It's like the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Hey, everybody. At the spaghetti dinner, with all the people here, we're going to eat just 5 plates of spaghetti and 2 pieces of bread. Man, there won't be enough to go around. Okay, but I've learned that I take what I have that may seem insignificant to the Lord. I bring that to Him in faith, and He multiplies it. And brings about the miraculous. Amen? What about the wedding at Canaan? Okay. Fill those jars with water. Okay. There was an obedience there. Water is not wine. It's like Pastor Gary said one time, I only had enough money for a little bit of milk, so I mixed the kids' cereal with water. I poured water in the cereal. Pastor Gary, why didn't you change that water into milk? You know, in that story, the servants brought what they had, and Jesus took the common and the ordinary and made a miracle out of it. That's the example for our lives. You know, it's not that we're insignificant, but God wants to work with us, and our skills and our talents He wants to bring into the picture and make the miraculous out of it. You know, that's really our destiny, that's really our goal. Amen. So don't despise the little things in your life. Don't despise if the Spirit of God tells you to do something. Greet somebody, bless somebody, even if it's something very little. Just do it. Just do it and watch how God works in your life and their life. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So that's a good definition that if we forget what love is, we should go there. So, I mean, there's many times where this is probably one of the passages in the Bible I've kind of looked at a lot because I've realized there were some things lacking and still are in my life that I need the Lord to desperately correct. And so if I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm sitting here wanting revelation on your word in order to grow, you know, He supplies it, and over time, He's changed those things in my life. Love looks the other way. Love says you're accepted. You know, love never fails. So love can cover that multitude of sin. You know, oftentimes the people we're closest to, we're exercising our faith probably the greatest because we're around that person the most. You know, sometimes we meet people, it's nice to be people. You know, I can be nice to Phil because I only see him a couple times a week. And say, hey, Phil, you know, in 5 minutes, I'm gone. You know, but when you're with somebody hour after hour, we learn to exercise the love of God. And the Lord will help us with these things. Romans 13, it says, 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. You know, I guess I can't be too judgmental on anybody when it says, oh, when it says, Shelley, you need to don't owe anybody anything. You know, and I owe people money on things and stuff. But I've realized that the debt, even if I was out of debt, the debt that I owe, if I owe something to you, Dave, I owe love to you. That's what the Lord is saying here. Whoever you can think of, that's who you owe, you're in debt to them. That debt is love. You owe a debt of love. So there's more to the scripture. It's a little bit deeper than we think it is, just reading it, you know, one time, but owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's peace, God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So that's a section on love. If you want to see the things that Pastor Gary spoke to us, or the rest, the recovery, the restoration, the revival, okay, you implement those things by speaking those things into your life, by believing and trusting God to give you the capacity to receive, you know, those things. And you help implement them by walking in love toward one another. So, Lord, help us figure those things out. You know, those are things that I want to know even better. So, okay, what do we do then? Okay. Bible says to stand fast. We stand fast in a number of different areas. Here it says, finally, in Ephesians 6, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, that's a decision you make. You make a decision to be strong. Well, I'm a weakling. No, you're strong. You're strong in the Lord. You know, your flesh says you're weak. You know, the things you see says you're weak. But the Word of God says you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. These are things you've got to decide in your life. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay. So sometimes I think my struggle is against humanity, my fellow man, people I know, because they irritate me so much. But it says our struggle, it's a spiritual thing. You know, they're acting the way they're acting because they're not listening to God's spirit. They're either listening to their own spirit or they're listening to the devil. So when we look at people, we need to put on those God glasses then to know where our problems really is. And then it says, put on the full armor of God. So we shouldn't be thinking of standing unless we have God's armor. If we don't have God's armor, we're just standing here in our long underwear. Hey, devil, take your best shot at me. Oh, he got me. Okay, it says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground and have done everything to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay. Wouldn't it be a drag if we didn't have God's word? If we didn't know what truth was? If we didn't know that we're kings and priests unto our God? That we're chosen by him? So it's so important to know what the word of God says about yourself. You know, I would encourage you, you know, have a Bible reading plan. Have a place you can go to every day and just open up your Bible and have a place, okay, I'm going to start there. And if you're not good at those things, don't put some requirement on yourself saying, I got to read 5 chapters or I got to read 1 chapter. Just open it up and just start reading. When you get tired, put it down. And then when the Spirit of God speaks to your, again, open it up, read it a little bit more, and then put it away. Okay. We know babies need milk to grow. I'm not calling any of you babies, but we know that. And the Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the word. Okay. There's some babies you can only give like a drop of milk to. Okay, we know those babies will need a lot of drops of milk to grow in Christ. Okay, so it's so important, even for us believers that have grown in Christ. You know, the Bible says we're not so much desiring the milk anymore, we're desiring the solid food. And Jesus talks about himself being the bread of life, and we know that he wants us to fellowship and to build ourselves up on a daily basis. So I would just encourage everybody to do that. All right, and then it says, the breastplate of righteousness in place says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus took our sin, he did a swap. Hey, I'll take your sin, I'll give you my righteousness. He did. Good news. So that's how we should look at one another. And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. All of us love our shoes. You know, we wouldn't go anywhere without them. And in this passage, he's talking about where we go, we bring peace. That's a preparation that God does in our lives. It says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So all these things play into helping us walk and to live the Christian life. Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many of you, or would somebody like to come up and get entangled with a yoke of bondage? Come on. Bondage is good. It's fun. Come on up. So, it says, Paul's telling us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You know, we have liberty in Christ. We're not sitting in a dark prison cell, okay? We're not sitting there with our arms chained to the wall, or maybe at least one arm chained to the wall, and a stale, crusty, moldy piece of bread and a little bowl of water sitting in front of us. That's not where we are anymore. That's where the devil would have us be. That's where the devil wants to make you think you are. He wants you to think you're in bondage. And oftentimes we walk right into bondage. But this is the year, if we're seeking God, if we're asking the Lord to fill us, some of those things that we've had trouble with, as we fill up more and more of the Lord, that bondage will just slowly go away. Sometimes it's broken off immediately. Sometimes you just go, I don't desire those things. I don't desire to do those things. You know, what's the difference between that scenario and I desire to do these things? I know, because I was there. I was there at times like that, where I desired not the things of God. Or I knew the things of God, I sort of wanted them, but my flesh just wanted to push me into that bondage. What makes a difference between that and standing and saying, I don't want those things. I don't desire those things. Well, it's as simple as spending time with the Lord. It is saying, I need to get more full of God than I am of this bondage. Okay, He's already made us free. Okay, we know that. Okay, it's in our head, but it's not in our hearts. When it's in our hearts, we can say no. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, the Word of God says, when the temptation comes, there's always a way of escape. You know, when the building is burning, there's always, the Spirit of God's always going to make sure there's a window open. You can jump out. Okay, but you got to act. You know, you can't be thinking, wow, it's getting warmer in here. No. You know, Proverbs talks about sin as you run. You run away from it. But as you fill up more of the Lord, these things won't be as much of a factor in your life. So, does this stuff kind of make sense? All right. I'm not speaking Pig Latin, am I? I hope not, because I don't know what Pig Latin is. All right, Galatians 5. Or 1 Peter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory and shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Okay. Okay, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." You know, I find myself more and more, like if somebody is with me, and they say, hey, let's do this, or I'd rather do it this way. You know, and I've done it a certain way, and I like doing it a certain way. But I know this person likes to do it a certain way, so I just go, yeah, okay, let's do that. You know, sometimes that humility is you're saying it doesn't have to be about me, but it can be about I want to do something that pleases you. Now we're not talking about sin or anything, but just simple things in our life. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You know. What an honor it is for our hearts to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you everything that I have. You know, isn't that humbling? Is that a humble attitude? And it's out of love that you're saying it. And then it says the Lord will exalt you. Wow. I mean, you can sit down. You've been exalted enough, Dennis. To say that the Lord is going to exalt you doesn't it just run like shivers through your spine? Like, wow, how is the Lord going to do that? He says, why does he need to do that? But he wants to do that. You know, he wants to bless us. And everybody here kind of understands what this scripture is. Humble yourself. And I'm learning. I'm learning more and more how to do that. Not that I want to be exalted. I'm going to humble myself so I can be like really, really big and tall before God. No, it's because I love him and he loves me. You know, when you're hanging around with the boss, you go places the boss goes, right? So that's the Lord's way of blessing us. If I was hanging out with Phil all day, I'd be eating at the restaurants he'd be eating at. You know, he's the boss. So, Kate, listen to this. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you know 2016 can be a year of cares if we let it be? Okay, these are things that you really need to get in your heart and your life. Cast all your care. Sometimes cares are sticky. You can't like get them off sometimes. And you need to be in worship, or you get before God in worship, or you speak his word. But there's time that you have to spend so that anointing can make that cut, that make that incision. Casting all your cares upon him. And not just keeping one or two, it says casting all, for he cares for us. Okay? Our flesh is not built for those things. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All right. I think I'm going to finish up with this one verse here. I've been reading in Galatians 5, and verse 3 it says, "For brothers, you have been called unto liberty, and sisters too. Only use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, you know, here. But I also know, too, you know, I really seek the Lord and I ask him, you know, many, many times, you know, over the days preceding, you know, when I speak, you know, what can I say to my brothers and sisters that'll help them? And, you know, these things come up, and I know these things I need in my own life, too. So, okay, verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Okay, hallelujah, we're halfway there. Why do I say that? Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He's not like, God, send me the Spirit so I cannot walk in the flesh. No. He's already living inside of us. Okay, so these are the things we've got to kind of go to the Holy Spirit school and learn how to do these things better. You know, because we will grow. You know, if we're willing, if we're seeking, it will happen. We will mature in Christ, and that's where we all want to be. We want to be fully mature, doing everything that God's called us to do. All right, and it says, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Okay. And I could write a book. Anybody could write a book about just this part here. This is not the definition of love. This is the fruit of the Spirit that we need to accomplish the things that God's called us to do. You know, when our patience runs thin, this is where we go to. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will enable us and grace us in whatever situation we're in. Nothing for God is impossible. Okay, and if he's living inside of us, nothing that God tells us to do or leads us to do will be impossible. It's impossible to the flesh. It's impossible you know, when you're trying to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's impossible in the flesh, but we're not in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, this is what I would encourage everyone to do, is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I think that's the first step, you know, and you seek to be led by the Lord every single day. I mean, often I say to the Lord, what do I do in this situation? How do I handle this situation? You know, I'm never in a hurry, and I'm never in a rush when I don't have those answers like right in my head. Somebody asks me questions, might ask me 3 or 4 questions in a row. Oftentimes I'll think about it for a second because I'm waiting for the Spirit of God to help me answer. And so we can be led by the Spirit just by taking a moment and saying, okay, God, how do I handle this? How do I approach the situation? How do I deal with these folks? You know, or deal with this? And surprisingly, I don't know why I said that, but it's just like every time God's there helping, ministering, touching, giving me understanding. Yeah, you know, compared to God, it's like I'm a child. You know, I don't know the universe. I don't know the answers to all these questions, but the Holy Spirit does. You know, and I don't have to know everything. I just have to be willing. I just have to be listening. And I just have to be hungry for God to work. And I need to be hungry to follow Him in my life. So I just encourage all my brothers and sisters tonight just to continue forward into 2016, that this is going to be a great year. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that we desire so much to walk out your plan for us this year. You have some greatness, some great things ahead for us. And so we want to embrace it fully with both arms. And Lord, we thank you and we make commitment to follow you. And we make a commitment to listen to the Holy Spirit and just ask him just to help us and to show us, to forgive us, but also to show us again those things we need to know so we can grow into the place you want us to be. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, God bless you, folks. You have a good night. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it